It's Thursday night. Time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Miss Peg, Maureen, Allura, and Steve. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for your free reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to the Psychic View on Psychic Access Talk Radio, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics are interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, ensuring you the highest quality of quality service.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Steve Frampton, and I'd like to welcome you back to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I'd also like to introduce my fellow co-hosts. Hello, Miss Peg.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm very well, Miss Peg. How are you?
It's been a really good week. I'm really glad to be back.
Great. Well, it's wonderful to have you back, and great to know that you're feeling better. I'd also like to welcome Maureen Holleran. How are you doing, Maureen?
I'm doing just lovely. Thank you very much, Stephen. I welcome you to your anchoring your first show. It'll be great.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited about the show tonight and excited to have Pamela Nine with us. I also want to welcome Alor. How are you doing, Alor?
I'm doing great, and I'm looking forward to another great show tonight, Steve.
Thank you, Alor. It's wonderful to have you here. I'm really excited that tonight I'll be interviewing our special guest, Pamela Nine, PhD. Pamela is internationally known as a messenger of spirit. She's a highly acclaimed psychic, medium, counselor, and spiritual teacher. She's also a certified Reiki master and ordained minister with a doctorate degree in religion. Now, Pamela's been in the wellness profession for more than 20 years and is the owner of Nine Wellness Center, located in Knoxville, Tennessee. She specializes in intuitive, grief, and spiritual counseling, Reiki natural energy healing, and educational programs. Now, if you'd like more information about Pamela, you can visit her website, which is www.pamela9.com. Now, today we'll be exploring the fascinating subject of precognition with Pamela. It's one of my favorite subjects, and I'm very excited to share this evening with Pamela and my fellow co-hosts. Now, for those of you that don't know about precognition, it's commonly known as foreknowledge of an event through paranormal means. So it's a very exciting topic for us to discuss this evening. Now, be sure to also stay tuned for the second half of the show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics, and we'll announce the call-in number later in the show, so do have your pen and paper handy to make a note of the number when I announce it later. If you were unable to catch our show on the Kabbalah with Rabbi Yeshua Baruch Ben Avraham last week, you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows, on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. You just go to the Archives tab, and you can see many shows there. They're always there for you to listen to and to download. Please also feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible, so do be sure to tell your friends and family about the show. Now, before we get started, we do have a question that we received by email from Julie. I want to thank you, Julie, for sending us your message. Wonderful to hear from you. Now, Julie was asking if precognition is also referred to as ESP. I'll start by saying ESP is an abbreviation of extrasensory perception. I'm going to give a very brief answer because Pamela will be talking to us in some detail about this subject. Precognition is actually one of the different types of ESP. I won't say any more for now. I want to let Pamela talk to us about ESP later on. I also want to thank Julie for saying that she's been listening to the archives. Wonderful to know that, Julie. Do carry on, and please tell your friends and family about the show. Now, at this point in the show, we get the planetary weather updates for the week ahead from Miss Peg. So I'd like to ask you, Miss Peg, what can we expect in the week ahead?
Well, first of all, this day, the day we're in right now, has been designed to be very magical. We've got a full moon and an equinox to discuss. I'm going to start with the moon. This full moon promises to adjust attitudes, push another wave of relationship reshuffling and reassessing present aspirations. Your emotions are keen for movement, and you are enthusiastic about present ambitions for the future. Protective of your independence, you are firm about your boundaries, rebelling if anyone attempts to make you conform. There is a shift and change in our lives right now. It's not a blanket statement. I mean, in the now. Grab the energy and ride it like a wave and allow it to help you as much to with your desires, and don't stand against the flow and don't go in the rubble or let it leave you behind. Peace and balance come into our lives when we seek true inner balance. The new and the full moons every month are a gift given us, so we have opportunity after opportunity to go with the flow and change our lives. This is such a complex full moon where the reality before you seem to raise choices of continued denial, standing up for your truth, facing emotional upset can push it. And it can be difficult to hear whatever it is that you don't want to hear. At every positive step, it seems that there looms a shadow of negative choice or temptation. Take deep breaths. Take all concerns one at a time. Separate desire from practicality, jealousy from genuine disappointment, and follow your instincts at all costs, and do not second-guess your opinion about individuals at this time. So in conjunction to the Aries full moon, it's retrograde at 29 degrees Pisces, is Prometheus. Being the supporter of mankind in the world, Prometheus's torch brings back an old situation which lies in, or lies in innuendo or involved. You feel forced to defend yourself, and with choices to be made here, sides to take, it will all come back to your personal morale and belief system as to how this situation will be resolved. This is my very most favorite time of year, every year since I was a child, the autumnal equinox. This equinox has been recognized by cultures for centuries and celebrated for its association with the harvest. In China and in England, among other places around the world, these harvest festivals are still celebrated. The fall equinox marks the first day of Libra, as the spring equinox marks the first day of Aries in Greek astrology. Traditionally, down through history, celebration ringing in this time of year. Festivals, pumpkin weighing, special cakes, foods, harvest ball, everyone, everywhere, somehow, some way celebrates this season change. Some see it as welcoming the darkness as the hours shift and change, temperatures changing, like me. No matter who you are or how you're raised, most everyone sees this as clocks falling forward, the time to start stocking up on pots of hot soup. Today most certainly is a magic day indeed, filled with the wonder and magic of life and how blessed we all are to be here, sharing this with one. This week's weather with a quote, "Delicious autumn, my very soul is wedded to it, and if I were a bird, I would fly about the earth seeking the successive autumns." George Eliot.
Thank you, Miss Payne. That was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Yeah, and I remember the harvest festivals when I was a kid in the UK, living in North Wales, and autumn's a wonderful time in the States as well. I live in Tennessee and just love to see the colors of the leaves change. So that was a beautiful update on the planetary weather, Miss Peg, so thank you. It's always good to know how the planets affect us. Now, we're going to get started with our interview. I want to start by saying it's an absolute honor to have Pamela Nine, PhD, with us tonight. As I mentioned before, we'll be talking about precognition, which is an absolutely fascinating subject. And welcome to the show, Pamela.
Hi, Steve.
Hi,
Thank
Pamela.
You very How are you much doing? For having me. I'm very pleased and honored to be here tonight.
Well, it's our absolute pleasure to have you with us, Pamela. I know you have a huge amount to share, and we're very excited about the show, and particularly as you're with us. Now, Pamela, I wanted to start by asking a little bit about your background and expertise. So my first question for you is, how and why did you commit your life to spiritual work?
Okay, well, here's a little glimpse into my story. I was actually born with my psychic and medium gifts. I inherited them from my maternal grandmother, and I discovered them when I was 5. I guess you could say I knew early on that I was here to help people, and I started my professional career actually in the medical field. As time went on, I was guided to become an intuitive counselor and spiritual teacher. So I've really been in this profession for over 24 years, and I offer educational programs to help others on their spiritual path and to also develop their psychic and intuitive abilities. And I really, and I feel very blessed to do the work that I do, and I love it.
Well, thank you, Pamela. I know that you do wonderful work, and if anybody wants to know more about your work, then they're welcome to visit your site, as I mentioned before, which is pamelanine.com. It's great to hear about your experience, Pamela, and your work. Now, we wanted to talk in detail about precognition, which is a wonderful subject, and to get us introduced to precognition, Pamela, I wanted to ask if you can tell us what precognition is and how it differs from other forms of psi or psychic phenomena.
Okay. I know the more commonly recognized types of extrasensory perception, and there are four of them. They are telepathy, clairvoyance, psychokinesis, and precognition. And to explain a little bit about each, I would say telepathy is really the ability to pick up on conscious mental content of another person's mind. Clairvoyance is the ability to sense or see things which are beyond the physical world. And psychokinesis is actually the ability to affect the outcome of physical process. An example of that would be spoon bending or being able to move inanimate objects. And then we look at precognition, which is really the ability to accurately predict future events. And that's pretty much our subject tonight, precognition. It's very fascinating.
Absolutely, Pamela. Thank you for those very clear explanations. Can you tell us a little bit about your personal experience with precognition and how it arises for you in your work and your life? So, for example, do you see visions or do you receive precognitive information when you're dreaming?
You know, I receive precognition, or what I call precognitive messages, through various means. I actually receive them through meditation, visions, and in the dream state. So I pretty much get them, you know, several different ways. A lot of people just get them one way, or others, you know, do get them various ways. So that's pretty much how I do it.
Well, that's fascinating, Pamela. Thank you. And could you tell us as well, or which you think are the greatest known examples of precognition?
There are so many really, really great examples. I actually did some research on this. Statistics have proven that trains, which were involved in accidents, are really subject to far higher cancellation rates than normal. And do you realize that many people actually dreamt of the two planes flying into the Twin Towers prior to 9/11? I actually jotted down some actual statistics. 9/11 flights were usually underbooked, or unusually underbooked, I'll say. American Flight 11 had only 51% occupancy. United 175 was only 31%. American 77 was only 20%. And United 93 had only 16%. The average occupancy of U.S. flights at that time was actually 71%. You know, that's amazing.
Wow. That's just incredible information, and those are real statistics. So people, in effect, sensed that there was going to be a disaster and avoided taking flights.
Yes. You know, I looked into it further, and there are also accounts of people canceling their trip on the Titanic because of dreams about the ship sinking. There's also information. In 1898, Morgan Robertson, he published Futility, and it was the story of a giant shipwreck named the Titan. And there was astonishing numbers of similarities with that and the Titanic. The Titanic, or actually the Titan, sank, I believe, in the month of April, and it struck an iceberg. The real Titanic, it did weigh almost 70,000 tons, and it measured 828 feet, and it also carried 3,000 passengers, and it, too, collided with an iceberg. You know what? And it was in April. And
wow.
It was traveling at 23 knots, which is so similar to the story of the Titan. You know, and then we can look at it. Precognition is even embedded into our common language. A lot of people term it as a gut feeling. There's just so many instances of it throughout history.
That's fascinating, Paula. And I'm fascinated by the information you gave us about the Titanic.
I know.
To realize that Morgan
Robertson
actually wrote a book about it before it happened, and that there are just so many similarities. That's just unbelievable.
You know what? This is one of my most favorite stories of precognition, and it's about Abraham Lincoln. There's a story, and let me think. It was written by Ward Hill Lamon, and it's the Recollections of Abraham Lincoln. I think it's 1847 through 1865, and there's a beautiful quote. I actually shared it with you. Would you like to read it, Steve?
Yes, I would love to, Pamela. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so... I'll read it as though I'm Abraham Lincoln. I shall flatter myself and pretend.
Very good. So
let me read the beautiful
English accent.
To me, here we go. So you have to imagine that he wasn't British. I can't put on an American accent as much as I would like to, so I'll use my own. So here we go. About 10 days ago, I began to dream. There seemed to be a death-like stillness about me. Then I heard subdued sobs. I arrived at the east room. Before me was a catafalque, on which rested a corpse wrapped in funeral vestments. Around it were stationed soldiers who were acting as guards, and there was a throng of people, some gazing mournfully upon the corpse, whose face was covered, others weeping pitifully. "Who is dead in the White House?" I demanded. "The President. He was killed by an assassin." Then came a loud burst of grief from the crowd, which awoke me from my dream. I slept no more that night, and although it was only a dream, I have been strangely annoyed by it ever since.
And you know what? President Lincoln... he described this precognitive experience to his wife, and he was assassinated 3 days later. Is that not amazing?
That's unbelievable. Especially, you know, Abraham Lincoln wasn't just anybody, so knowing that story about him is just an incredible evidence of precognition.
There are so many others throughout history. We actually discussed briefly, there's another mention of Sir Alec Guinness, James Dean, and I would like for you to share that with us as well, if you would.
I would love to, Pamela. Sir Alec Guinness is a wonderful and very well-known British actor, and he was in Hollywood many years ago, and he was walking down the streets looking for somewhere to have dinner, and he bumped into James Dean. And although James Dean and Sir Alec Guinness didn't know each other personally, they knew of each other, obviously, and James Dean invited Sir Alec Guinness to have dinner with him. And so Sir Alec Guinness went and had dinner. And apparently, before they arrived at the restaurant, James Dean showed him a beautiful sports car that had been delivered, and it had a beautiful bow on it, like a gift. And J- James Dean explained that this was his new car. And Sir Alec Guinness, who's not a psychic, he's a wonderful man, and obviously very much in tune with spirit because of what I'm about to tell you. But he apparently looked at James Dean and said, "You must be very careful driving this car." And James Dean said, "Oh, I will be careful. This is a wonderful sports car. It can go very fast." And he actually quoted the speed. And Sir Alec Guinness said to him, just very knowingly, didn't think about it, it just came out. He said, "If you drive that car at that speed, you will be dead by this time next Thursday." And James Dean laughed, and they carried on and went and had their dinner. And there's actually a clip of Sir Alec Guinness being interviewed on British television by a gentleman called Parkinson. And he tells this story. It's very, very moving. And Sir Alec Guinness continues to say James Dean did drive the car at that speed, and he was dead by the following Thursday evening.
That's amazing. That's amazing. See, there are so many instances of precognition in everyone's life, and a lot of people recognize it, but then there are some people, you know, they take it as coincidence or serendipitous, and, you know, we all have these abilities, and if we would recognize them and really learn how to evoke them in our day-to-day life, we would be so much more in touch with spirit.
Absolutely, and I always encourage everybody to do just that, Pamela. I've learned to really trust what we generally call instinct, and to trust the feelings that I have about the future, and they never let me down. They're always meaningful. So I always try to trust my gut feel and encourage other people to do the same. Yes. Well, you've got a huge amount of knowledge, Pamela. I knew you'd be a wonderful guest, and it's just fantastic
you.
To have you here. Now, interested to ask you, Pamela, I know you have a PhD in religion. So although you work as a healer and Reiki master, psychic medium, you have a lot of religious knowledge. And I wanted to ask you what the Bible has to say about precognition and spiritual gifts.
Well, I'm going to preempt that with a little story. So a lot of people realize this about me, but I'd like to say this for those who don't. I was raised Baptist, and then my grandmother was Cherokee. She taught me my Native American traditions, and I treasure those. So I grew up, and I married Catholic. So needless to say, I was really messed up. I really didn't know which way to go. So I spent a lot of years on my knees searching for the truth, and that's what led me to study religion. And yes, I can tell you there are many, many references in the Bible which relate to spiritual gifts and precognition. I know in Paul's letters to the Corinthians, he talks about the gifts of spirit. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he says, quote, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities this Holy Spirit gives to each of us," unquote. In 1 Corinthians 12:8-11, the following is written: "To one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. He gives special faith to another, and to someone else the power to heal the sick. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and to another the ability to prophesy." Those are just a few of the references in the Bible. There are many other references to precognition and our spiritual gifts. So these truly are gifts from, and I say God, and I say that in reference to spirit, creator. They're all one and the same to me. And I thoroughly believe they are truly our gifts.
Well, thank you, Pamela. I have exactly the same belief, so we're kindred spirits, and you're fascinating to listen to. Now, I wanted to change topic slightly, Pamela. So we've just talked about the Bible. I'm very interested in science and would love in my future to help unravel some of the mysteries of mediumship and psychic phenomena. But I was interested to ask you what scientific evidence there is of precognition.
Well, I actually belong to the Institute of Noetic Sciences, which is a wonderful association and foundation. And let me add this to, I'll explain a little bit about what the Institute of Noetic Sciences is, but I'd also like to mention here in Knoxville, for those of you who are here locally where I am, we have a Knoxville IONS community group, which is through the OASIS Institute. It's a wonderful group, and I encourage everyone to look into this because it's very wonderful. The Institute of Noetic Sciences was actually founded in 1973 by Apollo 14 astronaut Edgar Mitchell. The Institute is actually a 501c3 nonprofit research organization, and their mission is advancing the science and consciousness and human experience to serve individuals and their collective transformation. The word noetic actually comes from the Greek word nous, which means the intuitive mind, or inner knowing, I'll say. IONS, which is what they're referred to, it conducts sponsors and collaborates on leading edge research, and it's all geared toward the potentials and powers of the consciousness, exploring phenomena that really doesn't fit into conventional scientific models. And it really, really is very geared toward maintaining a commitment into scientific rigor. It's a wonderful group, and I encourage everyone to find out about it. Are you familiar with the group?
That sounds fascinating, Paula. You'll have to send me the details. I'd love to go
sometime. I will. You need to join our Knoxville chapter.
The work that he initiated there.
Yes, there's a wonderful
video. Could you tell us a little bit about any other scientists or members of the scientific community, Pamela, and particularly their views on precognition?
Well, I do know that Dr. Dean Radin has proven our ability to sense the future by testing emotional response to pictures. When emotional pictures were shown in his experiments, the subject experienced like an increase in skin conductance. And when calm pictures were shown to him, skin conductance actually decreased. In his study, Dr. Radin proved that skin conductance increases in a tissue. Well, it's kind of like anticipation of emotional images, and he determined that it was 4 seconds before they are shown, and that proved that we are actually able to sense the future. It's really wonderful research that he's done, and I recommend everyone looking into this. Are you familiar with this as well, Steve?
I wasn't familiar with that particular piece of research, Pamela, but I have read a couple of Dean Radin's books, and he's seems to be a wonderful man, and he's worked in different organizations, but he's with the Institute of Noetic Sciences, funnily enough, and I know that he does wonderful work and is very committed to the field of ESP, and it's tough work because many scientists don't believe at all in ESP. So I admire those scientists that are prepared to commit their work, their time, their careers to exploring these incredible subjects that we're all also interested in. Now, Pamela, I was doing a little bit of research and stumbled across some very interesting information on Wikipedia. I'm going to read a little extract that I took from Wikipedia because it's very interesting. So we've talked about science, we've talked a little bit about some pieces of writing in the Bible, and some fascinating statistics about trains and 9/11, etc., and then Abraham Lincoln. But I wanted to look for some information about the general public in the United States. So this is what I found. I'll read it out to you all. A survey of the beliefs of the general United States population regarding paranormal topics was conducted by the Gallup Organization in 2005. The survey found that 41% of those polled believed in extrasensory perception and 26% believed in clairvoyance. Amazing. 31% of those surveyed indicated that they believe in telepathy or psychic communication. Now, these are big percentages of the population in the States. They're really fascinating numbers. And for me, these statistics really show that times are changing and that we are embracing extrasensory perception. Now, having talked a little bit about the general public, Pamela, do you believe that everybody is capable of precognition?
Yes, I thoroughly believe that. I know that we all have intuitive gifts, and they're like any other skill. Truly, the more they're recognized and developed, the more we are able to access them and use them. And these abilities can be used in our everyday life. They help us on our spiritual path, our personal growth. Every aspect of our lives can be benefited by learning our intuitive and psychic abilities.
And Pamela, what do you think is the future for precognition? Do you think that it will be widely acknowledged and widely used in the future?
I really do. I know the world is changing, and I know that there's a wave of cleansing going on in our world at this time. I also know that precognition actually goes back to the oracles of the Greeks and Romans, as well as the prophets of the Old Testament. Nostradamus, writing in the 16th century, claimed that he could lift the veil of time. He predicted World War II, the JFK assassination, as well as the fall of communism. I just could go on and on. There are tests at the Rhine Center that show people can see the future. Newton's law also shows that if you know the location and position of molecules in the universe, you can actually calculate the future motion of these atoms. You know, if we had a large enough computer, you could probably compute all future events. And, you know, we all know how quickly computer technology is evolving. So the future is just endless. And our children have so much to look forward to in the future. We all do.
Absolutely, Pamela. And it's fascinating that talking about synchronicity, it's fascinating that you take that example of computing. I gave a talk last night at the University of Tennessee about self-discovery. So I was trying to help students think about their futures and decide how they want to contribute or how they feel they can make the greatest difference in their lives. And I showed a very short video clip that I found on the internet. And this clip talks about its changes in demographics and technological advances, and I can't remember the exact number of years, so you have to forgive me, but it said something like, in several years, maybe I can't remember whether it was 7 or 10 years, a $1,000 computer that will be available, you know, computers that are just available to us all in our everyday lives, in that number of years, a $1,000 computer will have greater computing capability than the entire population of the world combined. So it is an extremely exciting time. And I believe as well that these technological advances and the opening of our minds and the interest of the general public in precognition and ESP is just going to explode and be fascinating.
Oh, I do too. Now, on another note, I'd really like to push my computer out the window about 90% of the time. My energy, as you well know, being psychic and intuitive, I stay in a heightened state of awareness a lot of the time, and my energy is very high, and it affects electrical components. And so it's quite an adventure some days when I get on my computer.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I have issues as well. I think in one of the previous shows I talked a little bit about electromagnetism. I've always had problems with electrical equipment, and increasingly with wireless devices. So I do think that when we use our psychic gifts and we connect closely with spirit, work with mediumship, etc., then perhaps our energy somehow becomes entangled with the electrical objects that we're so used to using.
Oh, I do too. And they, you know, they look at me really funny when I go to the grocery store now, because I buy light bulbs like they're going out of style. I really do. I go through them so much. And so that's kind of a little joke around here. My son has to change the light in the stairway about every few days because it goes out. And I said, that's my grandmother and my dad doing that, honey.
Well, so, you'll have to ask for a discount to the store for the light bulbs.
Well,
it's funny, Pamela, because as we move on to talk that example about light bulbs, and which are obviously manufactured by businesses, I wanted to ask you also a little bit about the business world. So we've talked about different areas. What about businesses? Do you think that businesses are also investigating precognition?
You know, I really do, because for the most, people think that precognition is only the interest of a narrow group, but it's not. Businesses, and there's extensive research where they have become engaged in extrasensory perception. In the 1970s, Douglas Dean and John, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, there were two scientists from the Newark College of Engineering. They investigated the hypothesis that successful business executives sometimes benefit from precognition. And there's a computer-based precognition experiment. They tested dozens of corporate executives, and they found significant evidence for precognitive abilities among all of them. And truly, the more successful the executives in terms of their profits really attributed to their efforts, and they really were their precognitive skills. It's been determined. The research is just astronomical.
Wow.
There's Sony's interest in, you know, the psychic phenomenon. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I was about to say, Pamela, that it's just incredible to know that businesses are interested in this field as well. But sorry, you go on. I could listen to you forever on this subject.
Well, I've actually done some research. So, you know, and Sony's not an isolated case. There's an article in the Asian Wall Street Weekly in 1985, the Japanese Government Science and Technology Agency, they decided to study man's spiritual activities in its Creative Science and Technology Promotion Program. The president of the NEC Corporation, he said in this article, quote, the study of the six sense and telepathy will certainly prove a cornerstone of future modes of communication, unquote. Now, I think that is just amazing. And it sets the standard for our future and for our children. And we really, really need to see that our world truly is changing.
It really is, and I do. Faster than ever.
Yes. Yes.
And Pamela, what about the military?
Well, you know, I, with all the new technology that's out there, I have sources that have revealed that the military actually uses remote viewing. And I know that there are a number of books available which discuss this topic at length. And, you know, we could have a whole new show in a few days about the UFO news that's coming out from the military. And I do feel that a lot of this is the result of remote viewing as well.
Absolutely fascinating, Pamela. It's just, we could go on forever discussing all of these different exciting facts. I mean, and the wonderful thing about your research and the information that you're sharing with us is that, you know, you do have a lot of facts to back up your experience. Now, Pamela, we're going to take a short break for a moment because we'll be having a short commercial. And after that commercial, we'll return and we'll talk in more detail about precognition.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, Pamela, after that short commercial break, we're back with you and want to learn much more. So I'm absolutely fascinated by everything you're telling us and teaching us this evening.
Oh, and thank you. It's my pleasure.
We spoke briefly about the military then, Pamela, just before the break. Now, yes. I wanted to move on and ask you, what do you think actually enables us to see into the future?
Well, I don't think the show's long enough to explain that, but here's a short version, okay? I know that there are dozens of prestigious scientists around the world, and they've been working to answer this question, and you know what? They're still working on it. However, I know that it has been proven that all matter exists in a vast, what I'll call an interconnected quantum web. There are others who have also suggested that our consciousness exists outside our bodies. We have always presumed that the brain and DNA were actually the body's central conductors, but they're actually transducers. They transmit and receive quantum information, and that's picked up from this huge interconnected web. So I really believe by using one's fine-tuned abilities to access this vast web of energy, this is where we get glimpses of the future, and that is where precognition stems from.
That's really fascinating. I remember speaking with a client a short while ago, and she asked me the question, well, how is it that you're able to pick up on my energy? How are you able to connect with my life, my past, my present, future, and my family and spirit, which I know is exactly what you do as well, Pamela? And
right,
my answer to her was not a scientific answer, but the answer that I always just felt intuitively, that we're all part of the same thing. So you talked about the field of energy, the yes, quantum web, and it just fits perfectly with my belief that we really are all part of one thing.
Yes, we're energy. And see, ever since I was a child, I have always been able to see the aura colors around people, and that is the energy field which is around people. I can access present information as well as past and future information. It's totally amazing. And you know what? It still amazes me. And when I sit down with a client and I'm doing an intuitive counseling session, I never know what's coming through, but it always amazes me, and I always feel so blessed because I know this is coming from spirit and is designed to help people on their spiritual path and to help them evolve. And that's truly why we're all here.
I believe it absolutely the same, Pamela. You're clearly extremely passionate about your work. Yes. It just comes across with your tone of voice, your energy as we talk. And I know that you do a lot to comfort and encourage your clients and help them to find their pathway in life. You know, I believe that we each have a unique character, unique spirit, and a unique purpose in life, and I just have huge respect for the work you do, particularly, you know, connecting clients with their loved ones in spirit and providing them with guidance about their unique purpose in life.
Thank you. I feel very blessed to be able to do my work.
Well, we're blessed to have you with us this evening, Pamela.
Thank you, Steve. Absolutely fascinating
interview, and you know, as I said before, you've told us about your work, your experience with your spiritual work and healing, but you've shared so many facts with us. You know, it's pretty easy to have a conversation about beliefs and our experiences, but you've shared so much factual information from many different sources, and that really does substantiate the conversation that we're having about precognition. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it, and I love working with you, and I'm very blessed to be on your show tonight. So thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome, Pamela. Now, we are going to have a conversation, Pamela, with the co-hosts. I've got some announcements and messages to share before we do that. And then I hope that you'll be able to join us for the later part of the show when we take some calls and questions from listeners, and we try to provide them with the love and guidance of spirit. So I do hope you can join us.
Yes, I'd be honored.
Wonderful. Well, we'll look forward to that, Pamela, as I know you've got lots to share. So I want to thank you for joining us tonight, Pamela, for this wonderful interview. I've got a huge amount of respect for your knowledge, and very much appreciate you sharing your insights on precognition with us tonight. So thank you once again for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, Pamela. And we'll look forward to sharing energy and reading with you later on. Now, as I mentioned to all of our listeners before, you can find Pamela Nine's information on our guests page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And I would like to make a few announcements before we move forward. If you haven't already heard, we're presenting a four-part series on 2012 Exposed. So please be sure to join us on October the 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th as each of our co-hosts presents our 2012 Exposed series. And please do tell your friends and family to join you and to join us for the show. The more listeners we have, the more energy we can share, and the more successful our show will be. Although I know that this evening was very, very successful. I'm honored that Pamela's insight and information that she shared with us today was just so wonderful. Now, back to the 2012 Expose series. Each show will have a different theme, so please do stay tuned for this upcoming event that we're very excited about. And also be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com website for lots of information about the psychic field, so from precognition to dreaming, mediumship, and all kinds of subjects. There's a huge amount of information on psychicbloggers.com, and it's a site that I visit regularly to learn from other spiritual workers. So do check out psychicbloggers.com and learn about everything from reincarnation to how to develop your psychic development yourself. Now, if you're interested in a reading from some of the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique set of gifts. Know that every psychic on psychicaccess.com has a detailed profile so that you can learn about them and their work, and you can select from the list of psychics the spiritual worker that you think can help you. And I know that many gifted psychics who've worked for other sites have joined Psychic Access because it's one of the best sites out there and has extremely high standards. I enjoy working for Doug, who organizes the show for us and is behind Psychic Access. And I know that he has extremely high standards and a huge amount of integrity and professionalism. So you can very much trust that site. Now, I'm also really pleased to be associated with the very reputable psychics that are also co-hosts on the show. We'll be speaking together soon. And I'm happy to work with you all and to be part of Psychic Access and Psychic Access Talk Radio. I know that my reputation is safe here. So do check out the Psychic Access site. If you'd like a personal reading, you can go to psychicaccess.com and we'd be very happy to hear from you. And for those of you who have websites of your own, I'm really pleased and excited to tell you that you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading that you refer to psychicaccess.com from your website. So if you'd like more information about that exciting proposition, you can go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Now, the call-in number for readings at the end of the show, I'm going to read out for you now, so that you can get ready and call in for a reading from the co-hosts, and Pamela will be joining us as well. So I'm sure we'll get wonderful readings. The telephone number is 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that, 724-444-4851. So do pick up the phone and dial in and ask us a question, and we'll be delighted to work for you and to connect with spirit to give you guidance. Now, this is a time of the show where we interact with the co-hosts. So I know that Peggy, Maureen, and Alora are ready and excited to talk about precognition as well. I wanted to start with Peggy. So Peggy, it's said that everyone has some sort of psychic ability, and I wanted to ask you if you could have your own natural precognitive and clairvoyant ability enhanced scientifically. Firstly, would you do it? And secondly, what possibilities would it give you?
Well, I've been looking at this question for days, Steve. I want you to know. And first of all, I want to say that I think that she's an amazing lady. Her energy is just uniquely appealing.
Thank you.
Anyway, I thought about this question all week, and I do have these gifts, precognitive and clairvoyant abilities, and I don't believe I'd like to have them scientifically enhanced, although I will say I've spent many years honing them, working, studying, being tested, doing the things that I can do to do this naturally. So I don't even really think about what possibilities it would give me, because I just don't think I'd be able to do that.
Well, that's very interesting. I know you do wonderful work, Ms. Pegg, so it's wonderful to have you with us this evening and to have you share your insights. So I know we've got more questions lined up for you. I wanted to ask Maureen as well. Maureen, I know that you are very interested in Carl Jung, and I wanted to ask you if you could share a little with us about his theories on precognition.
Yes, Carl Jung is young. Jung, okay, he was a Swiss psychiatrist, and he was a founder of analytical psychology. This is from he died in 1966, so this is 1875 he was born. So it was during that time period. But he's best known for his theories of the collective unconsciousness, which I'm really into. But so you. That kind of thing, what he's talking about is called our psychic inheritance. It is like a reservoir of our experiences as a species. So we all have it. It's a kind of knowledge that we're all born with. And yet we can never directly be conscious of it, because we are starting to be. But at any rate, he was not so much of a materialist, but a mystic. And that's why he got... So he dabbled in astrology, Kabbalah, alchemy, and so on, seeing each as exhibiting clues to some greater spiritual-based reality. He was very different from the other psychiatry type of norm. And so he used the theory of the collective unconsciousness not only to explain cross-cultural similarities, like in mythology and psychological functionings, but more importantly to explain so-called psychic phenomena like precognition and telepathy and synchronicity. So all were to Jung manifestations of the collective unconsciousness. So that is of our unseen linkage between all of us, one soul to another, of our linkage to a higher order of intelligence. And so because of its complexity and inherited mysticism, his theories have received limited acceptance, you know, within the mainstream of the psychology people. Many complained that his work could not really be applied to problems of everyday life. But it's ironic. This is, I don't know if a lot of people know this, maybe not, but ironically, it was a conversation with Carl Jung that led to the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous, as well as related to the 12-step program. He's the one who brought it about. He advised a chronic alcoholic about this and so on. So that's where they, you know, came to find that it was not about all the other things that weren't working for alcoholics. So the advice worked with no psychological, religious, or medical therapy that had failed before. So that's where Bill W., the guy who's famous for the founder of AA, he used Carl Jung's theory on that. So his thing was everything is, we all have it. I want to go that we all have it. We're all born with it, and it's part of our humanity. I hope that everybody followed me okay on that, but that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Absolutely, Maureen. It was fascinating, and you know what you were saying about the collective unconscious is the same theme in effect as the theme that we were discussing with Pamela. You know, the field or the quantum web.
Yeah.
The fact that we are all interconnected, and it's through the collective unconscious that mind and energy that we're able to connect with and help each other.
Exactly. Right.
Well, thank you, Maureen. Now, Alor, you have a lot of expertise in this field as well, so I wanted to ask you to help our listeners understand how one can develop or hone precognitive abilities?
Well, according to Erwin Myers, trying to develop or hone your psychic precognition abilities is very possible. Because, you know, we all have a right and a left hemisphere, and we all have a brain, and I believe that part of the reason we're not using our entire brain is because a lot of the parts of our brain that are not being used are the parts that could be developed, which would give us these abilities. And that's why they seem so unconventional. It's because most people don't use this part of their brain as much as we could if we were fully developed. So I believe you can develop these abilities. And in any event, Erwin Meyer says he feels that in order for you to be able to develop precognition abilities, you have to understand and know the areas of the mind that must be worked and tapped into. So some tools used to develop precognition abilities are tools like hypnosis, which is used to open doors in the mind that weren't even thought present. Meditation is another way to mentally visualize events past and future, and that again creates neural pathways in the brain and opens up neural pathways that might not have been open before. Another way is to use your imagination, because when you're using your imagination, you're using your brain, you're exercising it, and you can imagine what someone will say, what will happen next, who is going to call on the phone, what mail will arrive, and things of that nature to practice and develop your psychic precognition abilities. So whenever you do those things, you're actually exercising your brain capacity for precognition abilities, and you will develop.
Well, that's wonderful, Alura. So in essence, we all have these abilities, as Pamela said and as you've reiterated, and we absolutely can strengthen those abilities to make them more useful for ourselves and for everybody else.
Right, exactly. You know, because it's not just one person. We're all human beings with brain capacity, and we might have our own gifts, but those gifts are definitely there because it's just a part of our brains that we're using. So,
and the brain is fascinating. I read as much as I can, and I'm certainly no scientist, but I'm very interested in science. And when I read and learn about mediumship and psychic work, I'm always fascinated to also learn about the brain, what we know about the brain, but I'm always staggered by how much we just don't know about the brain.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, for years, the one thing I've done is I've kind of put two and two together when they say we only use a certain percentage of our brain. And it's thought of as strange when we are, say, psychokinetic, telepathic, clairvoyant, clairaudient. This is supernatural. It's really not supernatural. I think it's using, you know, parts of our brains that maybe others haven't developed yet in their brains. And that's why I believe we aren't using as much of our brain as far as the capacity that we have. And I think if we did, we'd probably be able to time travel and do all kinds of things.
Well, when you find out how to do that, Alura, you please tell me, because it's things that I would just love to do. I'm fascinated by history and the future as well. I'm increasingly fascinated by futurism. So when you have the secret ingredient for that, please share it with me. We'll go on a psychic view trip together with all of our listeners.
That sounds awesome.
Okay.
You know, Alura, I'm sorry, real quick. Alura, you know, speaking of that, my daughter is studying the brain. In respect to what you're just saying, it's interesting because she's going to go off into med school, but she's studying the brain for why we, you know, so how we can figure out to tap into what we can and use it. It's funny you're bringing that up because that's what she was inspired to do that for reasons of me.
Oh, that's neat. Oh, see, that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you have it, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, Miss Peg was mentioning the other day the TELSA resonance, and it's something that I haven't heard of before. So I'm fascinated to ask you, Miss Peg, if you can tell us how TELSA resonance can help us to perceive the future.
Well, that's one of the things I've been studying, and for this show specifically, and I'd never heard of it either. Resonance is a common thread which runs through almost every branch of physics, and yet a lot of people have never studied it. Without resonance, we wouldn't have radio, television, music, swings on playgrounds, not to mention cool gizmos like the Tesla coils. Of course, resonance also has a dark side. It occasionally causes a bridge to collapse, a helicopter to fly apart, other inconveniences. Unlike black holes, time travel, and quantum mechanics, resonance is commonplace and easy to observe, it is one of the most striking and unexpected phenomena in all physics. I discovered this story about the terra norm. I was just floored when I read this, and I wanted to share this with you guys. It says, every powerful phenomenon in nature has its dark side, and resonance is no exception. It's best experienced in moderation. Taken to an extreme, resonance causes things to break catastrophically. For example, when an opera singer with a very loud voice hits the right frequency, it starts to resonate and break. On the morning of November 7th, 1940, the four-month-old Tacoma Narrows Bridge began to oscillate dangerously up and down. A reporter drove out to the bridge with his Cocker Spaniel in the car, and the bridge was heaving so violently that he had to abandon his car and crawl back to safety on his hands and knees. At 11 o'clock, the bridge tore itself apart and collapsed. It had been designed for winds up to 120 miles an hour, yet the winds were only 42 miles an hour that day, and they believe it was that's what caused it to collapse. How does it happen? They really don't know why. The experts do. The wind that day, in the direction that it was going and how it was moving, caused the bridge to resonate, and it was a shocking calamity, and the only loss of life that day was the Cocker Spaniel, sadly. But that's my point, and as in everything, if you feel that in your life, studying it, go in that direction. If you feel like you've got the ability to, if you're sensitive or you're an empath or you've got the ability to see the future, start studying it. Hone those abilities. Work on them like a muscle that you're building when you do a workout.
Exactly. Wow, well, that's good advice. And you know, your talk about resonance, Ms. Pegg, just makes me think back to the show last week about the Kabbalah and the fact that certain Jewish people, some Jewish people, are proven to have a different sort of physical makeup that enables them to chant in ways that others can't chant, and that it's that special chanting which can be used to invoke the spirit world, the angelic realms. It's absolutely fascinating. Now, wanted to go back to you, Maureen, and ask you if you could tell us a little bit about the connection between precognitive experience and psychokinetic energy.
Yes. It's a different and controversial theory, and it contends that the precognitive experience itself unleashes a powerful psychokinetic, also known as PK, energy, which then brings the envisioned future to pass. So this comes from J.B. Rhine, and in fact, I'm pretty familiar with the Rhine Institute and Louisa Rhine, which was his wife. And they began a significant research of precognition in the 1930s at the Parapsychology Laboratory at Duke University. So J.B. Rhine's original goal was to prove telepathy, but his experiment with ESP cards also revealed precognition and PK. So such like self-fulfilling prophecies. I'm from Atlantis, I tell you. Honestly, it is. Yep, it all yep. over. I have a hard time because they didn't use words. They were all flipped. were examined in the 1960s by a London psychiatrist. I found this very interesting. His name was J.A. Barker, who contended in his book called Scared to Death that people who died in the manner and at the time predicted by the fortune tellers were literally scared to death and contributed somehow to their own demise. Now, yeah, this is very intense. But Barker studied more precognitions surrounding the coal slide disaster in 1966. I don't know if anybody heard about that. It was in Wales, which it killed 144 people. And he established the British Premonitions Bureau, which collected precognitive data in order to avert disasters. So I didn't even know about this guy, but so Barker succeeded in finding a number of human seismographs type of people who tuned in regularly to disasters but were unable to accurately pinpoint the times. So I wanted to tell you a little real quick about my story because, well, one thing is one person's noise is another person's data. Okay,
yep.
That's for sure. And my story with the PK, because I have, you know, a connection with that, And they're trying to figure out, like I said, if it brings about, there's a lot of controversy, but this is what, all I know is when, would you like to hear my story? Yes?
Yes.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it is, at the time it was extremely terrifying, but I now, I'm looking back, but this was 20-something years ago before I found out this is the work I was supposed to do. And I had, I lived with a woman who worked, she used to go out of town to work. She was one of the women that worked up on the poles for the GTE at the time. You know, she would climb the poles. She was a real, she was some woman. Their tool thing. She was in Texas, a small town in Texas, putting up some, you know, something out there. And the night before, so I was alone in this really interesting home that where all my stuff opened up to me, my work. Weird experiences, but I was sitting there and I was having a lot of PK stuff happening, and I was at UCLA in the parapsychology. They were researching me for PK because stuff, it was uncontrollable. I didn't know why I was doing it. It was just happening. But I was sitting there and I noticed there was a door that went out to our washer and dryer, and from there there was another door that led outside. And there was a window that you could see through this door, and I saw that I was sitting there and I saw the door knob turning. I'm like, oh my gosh, someone's trying to break in. I couldn't see anybody in there because there was a window that I could see and the back door, everything was locked. I was really creeped out this whole time period anyway, and I kept watching it, and I thought I was going crazy. I was watching, and I was very hysterical. So I ran out of that house, to say the least. I ran out of that house. Well, I came back a couple nights later, and it turned out my roommate called me, and she said, I said, how are you doing? And she goes, you can't believe what happened. She told me it was like three nights prior to, it was exactly the same night this happened to me. I don't know. She said, two nights ago, she goes, we were in this little, you know, road house, you know, on the side of the road out in nowhere land at the hotel. And she said, somebody was trying to break in. She goes, and we were sitting there having our, because she likes to drink. She goes, and she was with another partner. Woman, and she goes, and we were relaxing, having our drinks, and the doorknob started turning, and some guy was trying to break into our hotel. And at the time before, I had told her my story because she knew what was happening around me at the time. She's, well, whatever. And so there's a good example of they don't know if the, that's why it's so controversy. Is that PK and ESP together? Was I picking up on something? It was something about, it's not the same time it was happening. I was getting it right prior to it happening as far as our times were concerned. We were speaking on the phone. But how would I have known that she was in, you know, happening, someone breaking, and I would not have any help? No, that was, how could I help or do anything else for that matter? So I hope everybody followed me on this, okay, because that's why it's such a controversy thing about PK and association with ESP or premonition, precognition, and all that. But I'm here to say that, yes, it is. It's connected.
Yeah. That was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
It was really tormenting, actually, but it is fascinating. So, you know, that's my point.
Well, it was wonderful, Maureen. Thank you for sharing that with us. Now, I wanted to ask you, Laura, can you tell us more about the two types of precognitive dreams, ambient and active lucid?
Yeah, I've actually experienced these two. And so what I did when I did my research, I came up with, you know, I came to the understanding that this is something, I guess, that has been looked into or I don't know if it's been tested or not. But according to Robert Wagner at dreaminglucid.com, he talks about two types of lucid precognitive dreams. And Julie, I'm asking you to pay special attention to this because this is what you were talking about when you're talking about seeing your next house. The two types of lucid dreams would be active and ambient. Now, the active lucid precognitive dreams are ones in which the lucid dreamer actively engages the dream. Like the dream objects or characters where you interact with them for a precognitive response. That's where you'll see, you know, a lot of people advertise, say, courses or programs where you learn how to become a lucid dreamer or to dream, you know, go into a lucid dream state and be conscious and create the outcome that you want. Okay, so that'd be like a manifestation process of some sort, or to resolve questions to problems or whatever it is. So you actively participate in this type of dream to get a precognitive response. Now, by contrast, an ambient lucid precognitive dream is one in which the lucid dream contains a precognitive element that was not actively sought by the dreamer. So it's more, it's kind of like more of a mixture of lucid dreaming and standard precognitive dreaming. I know a lot of times I'll see things and I'm not really trying to get a response or actively participating. I'll be watching things. Now, I have also done lucid dreaming where I'm actually creating things. So, but they both have a very different feel. One is more passive than the other. So oftentimes a precognitive dream is symbolic rather than literal. And that's important to know, because if you are going to practice this and exercise this to develop it in yourself, it's really important to keep a journal. And that way you begin to understand how your gift works. You know, what certain symbols mean to you. And when you see it, you'll understand how to interpret it when you do that. So it's important to practice. Keep a dream journal. See what particular dream, your particular dream tendencies are. Some people actively use lucid dreaming or engage in it to create or manifest certain realities or to find answers to important questions and things of that nature. And that's a really good practice too. And one of the things you can do if you want to practice this is keep something next to you that you feel will anchor you. It could be something, say, that your grandparents gave you, something that has a lot of meaning to you that you feel very safe, that makes you feel very safe. And when you sleep at night and you fall asleep, you can have it next to your head or, you know, on an end table near you, whatever you want, so that you're aware of it. If you sleep and you happen to wake up in the middle of the night and you switch, in other words, put your head where your feet are and your feet where your head were, which sometimes is hard when you're really tired. You know, you may not want to do it, but you change your sleep pattern and have the intention to lucid dream. You will often dream lucidly. I've actually done that, and it works. And so be sure and keep a journal next to you so that you can write, you know, because you'll forget if you don't write things down pretty quickly. And that's one way to actually practice.
That's incredible, Alua. I'm really interested in that subject of dreaming, because I very often have vivid dreams about clients the night before I see them. And usually during a reading, if I give information about the client's future, if I give guidance about the future, then that information is taken from the dream that I had the night before. And I know when I was a kid, I would often talk with my guides, but often I would dream very vividly as well. And I actually asked a little while ago my guides if they could help me to learn during the dream state. And I did that because I'd had a very vivid dream about a week before, and in that dream I was in a classroom, and different spiritual teachers were coming into the classroom and standing at the front and teaching, and it was like being at a spiritual school. And when I woke up just immediately after that dream, I could remember the details of the information that these spiritual teachers had shared, and I started to write that down, just as you said, so keep a journal. And I asked my guides, well, I want to do that regularly, and I do now have these very, very vivid dreams, and learn a lot during the dream state. And I believe that we all have access to the spirit world and to all of the knowledge and the insight, support and love that's available. And I believe that if we ask to go to spiritual school and to spend time with our guides and get insight in the dream state, then we absolutely can do that. So thank you for sharing your incredible insights with us, Alua.
Sure, and I believe the same. It's like having a more full life, because you know you're actually learning. It's not just downtime where you're sleeping. You're actually doing something while you're sleeping. It's really interesting. That's what I found anyway. You're productive, and you're right. You get the love and the guidance that you need. It's wonderful.
Absolutely, and healing as well. You know, I believe that we heal at night as well.
Absolutely, I do too.
Now, Miss Peg, you found an interesting statement that you wanted to discuss with us. So I'm going to read that statement out and ask you to share your insights, if that's okay.
Well, why don't we take a commercial break first real quick, and we'll get that out of the way, a word from our sponsor, and then we'll come back.
Absolutely. We'll do that straight after the break. Thank you, Miss Peg.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
Well, after that commercial break, I wanted to return to you, Miss Peg, and I'll read the statement that you discovered and ask you to give us your insight about it. So I'll read it out now. Here it is. If a person could provide accurate and detailed descriptions of future events on a regular basis, that person would be celebrated as a true psychic. That no such person has ever existed in recorded history is a sign that stories of people with second sight are mythical exaggerations.
Well, I like this statement. Well, I shouldn't say like, actually.
But we ought to discuss.
We could all really, yes.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate Steve referencing the percentage points of people that are now more or less believing in things that, you know, 20, 30, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, whatever, it wasn't thought of or heard of. We were, you know, witches. This is the one thing that I have never understood. I do believe that there is accurate and detailed descriptions out there. I do believe that people have proven themselves to be right and true and good. I know I have. I think I wanted that statement read on air because I think it's ridiculous, and it is mythical itself. So, I believe that it is the control of the world, the they, not wanting who we are, what we do, how we can help out there in the world to see. I know Maureen had a thought a moment ago. She was thinking about the situation that Anne was talking about, weren't you, Mo? Were you talking about something about that?
Well, actually, I think it might have been a little bit different. It wasn't so much in the dream, but it had to do with us in general. Like, but what I kind of came to is like telepathy, but then that can be through dreams. But if telepathy can be explained by assuming that some people are very sensitive to the electronic magnetic type of energy signals from another person's brain or field consciousness, then true precognition indicates a deep spiritual space or a spiritual reality of wholeness in which all time, space, and energy and individual consciousness and information are mysteriously connected, be it dreams or whatever. But so it was a little bit off the subject. But
still comes along with it. Why does it come across as that these are, you know, as that statement I found on the internet, which annoyed the, you know, what out of me, said, you know, that these are, that second sight is actually mythical exaggerations. Why is it put out there? Why is that debunking always that, you know, when I know from my personal self that it's not, you know, I know who I am and I know what I can see and what I can do.
You know, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
No, I'll go on. I want to allure you first.
Okay. The thing that stands out to me, because I also hear these comments sometimes or every once in a while where here's the basic attitude that I hear. This is what I hear when this comes up is that if you're truly psychic, you'll know everything. And you'll always, and when I say always, the word is absolute, always, be 100% right. And if you're ever not right, you must be a quack or it's a hoax, it's baloney. And that's not true. There are doctors who are not quacks, who are very legitimate, who aren't always right.
Exactly.
Okay? They misdiagnose. They can only do their very best. Now, the other aspect in our world is that there are many probabilities that exist, and very few people understand or even know that. They're living just like we are in the third, you know, 3D, and they don't understand that the time is not really linear. It's actually more of a spiral or circular, however you want to put it. And there are many, many different probabilities in time and space. And they have the option to change their mind or change their stance on something because they're the master of their destiny. And if we see when we are when we are reading somebody, we are looking at probabilities in the moment in time that we are reading somebody. And we're looking at the probable timeline that they're going to go down. Now, they can change that right after hearing the reading, go, oh, wait, I don't want that, or I want this, or I prefer that. They'll often get an emotional healing or some type of healing and change their course of action. And that changes the timeline they're on, which changes the result they get. So it's not that we're always wrong either. It's a fact that they got some sort of healing and they changed course, or that they changed their mind. You know, they could go down a negative road too. So, you know, there's a lot to this, and it's not, so the quote, the accuracy, unquote, is very, that's what I find skeptics often say, well, then how come you might be wrong 1 out of 10 times? You know, they're looking at, you know what I'm saying.
I'm sorry, Steve.
So no, go ahead, Ms. Peck.
Well, the thing that got me was the accurate. If you could provide accurate and detailed descriptions, okay? And I will tell you, remote viewing was by pure accident because I was talking to another psychic lady friend of mine, and I said, do you have this and this, and I see this and this. She goes, you're describing my front yard. How do you know that? And so I started to look into these things. I didn't know what it was, and I've never heard of remote viewing before, but that's exactly what I have. So the accurate descriptions, do you know what was given to me? So that exactly what you said, Alora, that whoever's coming to me and talking to me, wanting me to help them with whatever it is in their life, that the things that I can see and the things that I can say and do, the accurate descriptions of what's going on in the house around them, the color of the shirt that they're wearing or the color of their eyes, those types of things, so they do listen to me, that they can get the spiritual guidance, not just, hey, is Pete going to call me next week?
Right.
And, you know, I find this conversation fascinating. I'll give you my take on this as well. I really enjoy remote viewing because I think when you're giving a reading for a client and you're able to show them that you can project your energy and look at their home and say, you know, you have this magazine on your coffee table and talk about the floor plan, etc. It's great evidence for the client that that we're able to project our energy and see what's going on. And I'm often surprised by the accuracy of remote viewing, and I believe that it can be very accurate because it's the now. So we can look remotely at somebody's home or at the center of a town and provide evidence that we can project our energy, and we can get it really accurate because it's there now. And
yeah.
When I think about providing insight to a client about the future, I always say, you know, if you want insight about the future, I'll ask my guides, just as we all do, for insight, and you get those insights. But I always say to clients, you have free will. I believe that we have free will to create what we want, and
yeah.
I believe that we very much influence the future. And I was watching a very interesting documentary last night, and in this documentary they were saying that many people believe that we literally create the future. So collectively our energy or the collective unconscious, the field, we're creating the future. So we're influencing the future and each other's future. And on the subject of Kabbalah, I was so fascinated by your show on the Kabbalah last week, Alur. I learned so much that I got a couple of documentaries on the Kabbalah. And the in this documentary about the Kabbalah, the narrator said, you know, there is a belief that our energy, our behavior, not only influences the future, but also influences God or the
Yes.
spirit. So there's an enormous interconnection between us, and I think that we're less accurate sometimes with precognition because it can change, the future can change.
Yes.
So that's
we've got to hurry here a little bit, Steve. Maureen had one more.
It's okay. We got a lot of calls waiting. Let's just skip it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's great. So you're suggesting, Maureen, we go straight for the calls then and do some readings?
I think that's a good idea, yeah, certainly.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. I know that Pamela's going to join us, so let's work together to give some readings.
Our first call is from Tennessee.
Our first call is from Tennessee. Wonderful. Hello. Who have we got from Tennessee?
Hi.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello, caller.
Hello.
Tennessee. There she is.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now we can.
Yes, I have a question about my career. I just wondered if you guys see anything in the way of a new career for me, and maybe what is the next step towards that career.
And what's your name?
I'm Pam. Oh,
Pam?
Yeah.
Thank you. We have another Pam.
Whoa, we have another Pam.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Great name.
Pamela, can I ask you to give your insight first for us, and then we'll all share.
About my career. Wondered if you guys say anything.
Hello?
Well, something's going on. Pam, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Yes.
I think
Steve?
You have two people. Steve,
yes, I'm
sorry.
I'm,
can you repeat her question? Somebody's
yes.
asking me something. Sure, go ahead.
So, Pam, my understanding is that Pam is asking for some insight about her career. So, I wanted to ask Pamela, could you give us your insight firstly, please?
Okay. Pam, I do feel that you are in the healing profession. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, part-time. It's part-time right now. Not full-time yet.
Okay, well, it's going to be full-time, honey, so you need to get ready, okay? I feel you partnering up with someone else. I feel this person is a friend, someone that is very closely connected to you, and I feel like that there is definitely a project in the work for a new job, and I feel like you're going into energy work, and this is going to be your profession. I also feel like you're teaching some classes upcoming. It's not going to be right now, but it's going to be in the future, and I'm going to say in the spring you're partnering up with your friend, and it's going to be really good, so get ready.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very exciting. Thank
Steve,
you.
Steve, what
Thank
do
you
think?
Thank you, Pamela. And
Thank
what
you.
Do what do you that's wonderful insight, Pamela. What do you guys think for Pam as well?
Well, I have something, you know, what I'm getting is that she needs to get back into her creative work and is Pam, are we Pam, you're with us on the phone. I know. Should I go by Pam or Pamela? Well, Pamela indicated, you know, she said something about healing. What I'm picking up on is something of her creative work, and she hasn't been doing. She needs to get back into that, so it could apply to very much what Pamela was talking about. I also get a feeling that she's going through an extreme transformation. It's not just a change. It's like a rebuilding her foundation, which has to do with her beliefs, her morals, her values, which is a very intense time for you. So I feel very, and it can be very uncomfortable as well, and it's rebuilding on your own terms, what works for you, so not what everybody else thinks, you know, like, let's say, if you're in the healing, or you want to go towards that as a professionally, completely, and others will say, well, that's not a good idea. It really won't matter, because you're really becoming more grounded and what you know will work best, but it is a slow process, but I feel that you're going to do quite well if you decide to go in completely with your creative work or healing work, as Pamela mentioned. So it looks very positive, but also it will be difficult.
I also have something for you as well. I feel that it's really important right now in this moment for you to be very patient. The timing is not quite yet. There's a cycle in everything that has to kind of wanes and waxes. And right now, if you just relax about it and allow things to occur naturally so that you're not stressing out about it not quite being the right time or when the right moment is or whatever it is, it's going to be really important for you just to know that, you know, time is going to take its course and that the right moment will come. So just pay attention more than anything else. I do feel that you do need to be watchful, pretty much what Maureen is saying. You know, keep what you want in your mind, pay attention, but keep your eyes open because for the right moment, because I also feel there might be, and this is not a bad thing, there might be some difficulties or some things that need to be changed or some changes that need to be brought forth. And that's why I say that, before you can do this. And once you do, things will come out right. Just be sure you take care of the details of everything. That's one thing I do get. But things in the end are going to be fine. I see a lot of peace, a lot of good stuff. Perseverance, you know, make sure you stay on top of things, but also make sure you take care of the structure of things.
Yes. And might I also add, I do feel like you're going through a transition where there are going to be some people that are falling away from you. And, you know, sometimes that's a good thing. And Pam, I really want you to look at that and hear that inner voice that that you get so clearly when you get silent and you listen. Okay? Remember that.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, all of you. That's wonderful advice.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam. Yes. Now, good luck to you. We have another caller from Washington State. So I wanted to ask, who do we have with us from Washington State?
Julie.
Hi, hello. Julie. How are you, Julie?
Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Well, happy to have you here, Julie. What's your question? What would you like guidance on today?
Oh, goodness. I'm having such a difficult time trying to rest and heal, and I want to know if you see or feel any suggestions on how or where I could channel my energy.
Okay, really, absolutely, Julie. We'll do our very best to help you. I'm going to ask Miss Peg to read for you first.
Okay, so she's looking for
insight on how best to rest and heal, Miss Peg.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
No, where to channel my energy.
Insights on what? Where to
shift her energy. She wants to shift and change her energy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I can feel it. I can feel the stress, and I can feel it's bone weary. It appears physical, but you already know it's not. The physical pain is a symptom. It's a spiritual thing. And the there's a couple things I'm getting. One is meditation, quietness meditation. Of course, the music that goes. But I really do feel like you have to start from the center core of who you are to the outside and work layer to layer. You don't. You have the power and the ability to go right from the center core of what it is and blast it out. I believe it's meditation, and it's quiet time. It's quiet time of meditation. And I get the computer. There's too much computer.
And she's laughing.
Yeah, that obviously resonates with you, Julie. Now, thank you, Miss Peg. That's wonderful insight. How about you, Pamela? What do you see for Julie?
You know, I really feel like water is very healing for you, Julie. And I would love to see you, you know, if you don't live by water, to get a fountain. And, you know, you can buy those in the store. But not only that, to take some me time, which is very wonderful, and we all need that. Spend some time soaking in the tub and going through a cleansing, because that's what your energy is calling for. You have some toxins that really just need to be released. You need to get in the tub. I would recommend you add some sea salt in the tub and sit in there and take Peg's advice and meditate and just let it cleanse and ask where you're to channel your energy and let spirit speak to you, because they really do. You just, you know, we want you to learn how to listen.
I have something for you as well. Actually, a lot of what, kind of a mixture of what Peg and Pamela have said is, one, it's really important to be true to who you are, to your integrity, and there's some changes that are going to be very important for you to make in order to do that, to live in line with your heart's desire and your purpose in life. And so that is very key to all of this. That will help bring about the healing, and also prayer, meditation, purification, just as Pam and both Peg were saying, to detox. But prayer, detox on several levels. So prayer, meditation, and all the peace and all those things, peace of mind, doing, nurturing yourself. Even it doesn't have to be expensive. It could be curling up and reading a book, whatever it is that brings you peace. But again, meditation and prayer. I also see that there might be a gentleman or some involvement with a gentleman or a male energy of some sort that is disturbing or will be coming up that's disturbing, if it isn't already.
Yes.
I feel like it may already be in your life. And it's going to be very important for you to contend with this in a way that is true to who you are. Okay? So it's going to be real important for you so that you're not led, diverted in a way that really is not congruent with who you are. Basically, the way I see it is life or spirit is really calling on you to really follow your heart and to be true to who you are. And you're more or less being forced to do that, so to speak.
Okay, Julie, how does that help you?
I have something to add.
That helped me.
Good.
It
good.
Wasn't
well,
exactly my
Maureen,
question, but
Maureen's
that
got more for you.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Maureen, what do you have to
Julie,
to
I would like to. Yeah, Julie, I kind of get a feeling that you were maybe a little bit reluctant with what's happening to you. It's a lot of inner stuff, as well, our body and mind do are connected, but unhealing and so forth. But I get a strong feeling that your dreams have been very interesting, and I suggest they kind of feel like there's a negativity going on. But what I do see in the next 3 months, I feel, whatever. It looks like there's renewed activities. It feels like your batteries have really recharged, and some really good opportunities are ahead for you. You will not be disappointed. And I think you just have to have, you need to use some discretion in your own dealings, personally.
Right.
And you'll be doing just great.
Julie, can I ask, have you been in a emotional roller coaster relationship recently? Because I really feel like you have.
No, not at all.
Okay, I really feel like there has been some emotional disturbances, you know, in your life, that you have felt like you have been on a roller coaster. And a lot of people are reluctant, you know, to bring those out to the surface. But I feel like that is a part of the cleansing that you're going through, and as the others have stated, to really check back in with where you're being guided to go and listen to your intuitive guidance of your own. You're going through a cleansing at this time, and I would really recommend that you spend some time journaling and use some color with the journaling. Buy some colored pencils and get that expression out, because it's been pent up for quite a while. Okay?
Well, thank you, Pamela, and Julie, thank you to you for calling in, and I'm glad you got through. We're going to take the next caller, Julie, but wish you lots of luck and love in your healing process. And I want to want us to take now a call from Texas, and we do have a lot of people calling in this evening, and I apologize in advance, we won't be able to get through to all of you, but please do persevere and call back in future shows. We will try in time to get to all of you. And do remember as well that even though some of you may not get through on the switchboards, we can only take so many calls, there are messages for all of us in the readings that we have or that we receive on the show. So we have a caller from Texas. Who do we have from Texas?
Kathy.
Sorry, your name is?
It's Kelly.
Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Well, it's wonderful to have you here, Kelly. Now, Kelly, I'm going to ask Maureen to start and read for you this evening.
Okay. Kelly, what is it that you would like us to focus on?
I was just fired, but I want to open up a business, and I want to know if you have any insight on any of that.
Okay, so your desire is to open a business, and you want to know if well, okay, you know, you've had some, I get a feeling that there's been something legal that wasn't very favorable doing something that was not regarding this new business. I feel it's a very good move, you know, you're used to a lot of hard work, but too many people put too much on you. Well, you're a caretaker. You'll take on way too much than you need to. But I do see you being very successful on your own, opposed to what you were doing prior. And I see you outside, being able to be outside. There's a lot of flowers and plants and green and everything, and it does look like there'll be a lot on your back, but it'll be your own stuff, your own business stuff on your back rather than somebody else's, where maybe you worked before and that would be their stuff on your back. I say you're up for it, and I'm absolutely very positive.
Wow. Thank you so much. Can you tell if it involves alcohol?
Pardon me?
If the business, if it involves alcohol, because I want to open a sports bar and grill.
Oh, you do? Would you be outside? A sports bar and grill would be out. Would there be outside, you know, seating or anything like that? Pardon me?
Well, I guess it'd be. I hadn't thought about that.
Well, I just see you being, you'll do very well thriving around growing things. And so if you are doing a restaurant, I don't see, you have the ability to do anything. I mean, a woman of your, yeah, you have a lot of things going for you, but I do see you outside, being able to be outside working. It looks like you're outside, there's a lot of green, there's growing things. And so I don't see why not. I think you could take on anything. I just see you moving forward in your own business is going to be very positive, and it's an opportunity. It may seem ordinary, but it will be great, opposed to what you were involved in before is what I feel. It's very good.
So, well, thank you, Maureen. That's fantastic insight. And Pamela, what are you feeling?
Okay, I do feel like this is going to get moving, but it's going to be slow to really get it started. November looks really, really good, Kelly. And I also feel like you're going to be approached by a potential investor that wants to get involved with the business, and I really do think that would be a good idea. So, do you know who I'm thinking of? Have you had someone approach you about becoming involved in the business?
A long time ago, but when I approached them and told them that I was ready to move forward, now they haven't replied, so I don't know.
Okay, well, that's the slowness that I'm feeling. You know, it's not going to be for a little while, and it looks like November, so you're going to hear back, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, and we wish you all of the best of luck and success in the world. Now, we have another caller from South Carolina. Who do we have from South Carolina?
Hello?
Hello, what's your name?
Hello. Hi, my name is David.
My name is David. Hi, David, how are you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. Good, David. Now, I'm going to ask Miss Peg to read for you first. What is your question for Miss Peg, David?
Past life. I want to know what was I in past life.
Oh, guys, I might have to pass it on to somebody.
I'm sorry.
That's kind of a
question. Question again. I'm sorry, I missed that.
He wants to know about his past life. Is anything affecting me now
from my past life?
We have a time constraint. I don't know if we can answer.
Yeah,
that would be very tough.
How about more of a direct question, Dave? How about more direct? Maybe.
Okay. Well, what about relationships? Do you see me in one anytime soon?
Okay. I will look at that. Just a minute. I don't see one soon, based on what your idea of soon is, because I asked Spirit, you know, based on your idea of what soon is, I'm not seeing it. I think it's really important for you to kind of lay down some... I see that you have to get through some personal work of some sort and laying down boundaries. Be careful about being too open to pretty much anybody coming into your life. And if you do that and you're really clear on your own emotional self, then somebody can come in, and then of course you'll be able to evaluate whether or not it's a positive thing for you. Anyway, I'm sorry, Miss Pig, I jumped ahead of you there.
No, that's fine. We've got other calls to do anyway, so I appreciate him calling.
I wanted to just say one very quick thing for you, David, before we do move on. When you asked about past lives, I was taken straight back to Greece, and I could see you standing on looked like rocks, in effect, talking to people and telling people. It's almost as though you were telling people the news. It's like you were narrating what was happening. And when I asked my guides for insight, I'll ask Pamela to give a little bit of brief input before we move to the next caller, but my guides are saying that you speak the truth, and you have a very important mission to tell people about reality and to raise awareness. And I see you standing again in this lifetime and telling people what's really going on and inspiring them to take action. Pamela, what do you see briefly before we take the next caller?
Yes, David, I feel like you've been kind of holding back your real self, and I want you to put it out there, and I want you to sit down and actually write out a list of what you would like to have in a life partner. You've not really put it out to the universe what you want. So I want you to put it out there. I don't see the relationship right away. I think they're waiting for you to decide who, you know, and what it is that you really want. You are a teacher, and there are so many people that need to hear the truth that you have inside, and it's time to speak your truth. And I totally agree with what Stephen said. So, bless you.
Thank you, David, and we wish you all the very best. And thank you for listening to the show and for calling in. I encourage you to continue and tell all your friends and family about the show. We want to reach out to as many people as possible. Now, we do have another caller from Colorado. I think this is going to be the last call that we'll be able to take, and I apologize that for those of you that haven't got through. It has been exceptionally busy this evening, but do try again next week. Now, who do we have from Colorado?
Zoe?
It seems we're taking a call from Missouri, so not sure we got connected to Colorado. Who do we have from Missouri?
Zoe.
Zoe, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us, Zoe. What's your question? I'll hand you to Pamela, our guest first of all, but what would you like to ask?
Well, my birthday is coming up next week, and I would just love to know what's coming in the future for me in any aspect of my life.
Okay. I'm going to ask for you to be a little more specific because that's kind of broad, and with the time constraints, just ask something, you know, more specific.
Okay. Well, our family has taken on a huge shift this past year, and I would love to see what's coming for our family in the future.
Okay. I feel like a move has either taken place or is pending. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Yes, you still have some more changes coming. There's also a new job coming in. There's a new offer coming in. This is going to be the first of the year, and I know finances are very, very rough right now. So I think that's truly what you needed to hear. That's going to pick up. The new job's coming. The move was a good thing, and I know you're reluctant, you know, to believe that at some points from what has happened. But there truly are some good things coming. Okay, Zoe? So just keep the faith. Okay?
Okay, so what I am seeing, it is in motion.
Yes, it's truly in motion. It's truly in motion.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela. Now, who else has some insight for Zoe?
It's all yours.
Okay. Zoe, I want to give you a gentleman in spirit, and he has been present throughout the show. His name begins with G. It sounds like George. Now, I sometimes get J's and G's mixed up, but it sounds like G or possibly George. And I feel as though he's grandfather or great-grandfather. Can you accept him?
Yes.
Good. Well, he is talking about encouragement and saying that he wants to remind you that he's very present, that he loves you just as he did when he was here with you. And he's laughing and saying, if you want guidance, if you want support, you can sit on his lap now, just as you did when you were a little girl. And he will laugh and joke and uplift you and encourage you. And he's really saying that you have wonderful gifts to share, and that you should just set your sights very high and go for it. He's also saying when you, if you smell smoke, cigarette smoke, then accept that as confirmation that he is with you.
Hmm. Oh, interesting. Now, would that be my grandfather that just passed last week?
Does your grandfather's name begin with G? Because the gentleman is giving me G.
We used to call him Great Grandpa.
Okay. Now, was he a smoker? Because the gentleman I've got here is talking about smoking.
You know, I don't recall him smoking. Actually, no, I know he wasn't a smoker. He was very against it.
Okay, but do you know, Zoe, if the reason for that is because he made a choice earlier in life to stop? Because he's talking about the chest, and I feel as though there's a member of the family that that smoked heavily and became very ill because of it, and that he was very shocked and became very anti-smoking because of that.
Yeah, that was my mother.
Yeah.
Okay, because he's talking about how much that struck him. But he's giving you a huge amount of love and encouragement. He's saying that his legs are very good, so he's giving me the feeling that he had some issues with his legs before he passed. But he's saying he's very stable on his legs and really able to walk around and even run around and enjoy life.
That's great. That's great news.
Well, he's with you, and we wish you all of the best of luck and love, success, and prosperity for the future. I want to thank you for calling in, Zoe.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Zoe.
Thank you.
Thank you, Zoe. Our pleasure. Now, we don't have time, unfortunately, to take more calls, so I'm going to wrap us up for this evening. I would like to thank you, Pamela, for joining us, teaching us so much about precognition and also sharing your wonderful abilities and insights with our callers. So thank you to you, Pamela.
Thank you for having me, Steve. I really enjoyed it.
You're very welcome. And I want to thank our co-hosts as well, Miss Peg, Allure, and Maureen. So that brings us to the end of another great show. I want to thank you all for listening and for sharing your energy, and also for those of you that called in. For those of you that didn't get through, keep trying. We'll be here every week, Thursday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time until 10 o'clock Eastern Time. I also want to thank our executive producer, Doug, for being so supportive. And to
I don't mean to interrupt you, dear, but our producer's telling us that maybe we should take this gentleman, we should take this call.
Oh, we have another call.
Yeah, he's waited so long, and our producer is
asking us to... He just said it's too late. He says it's too late. I guess he hung up.
Okay.
Well, he must have hung up.
I know that our caller's name was Nate, so...
Yes.
Nate,
he's still there. Yeah, I see. He's still in the chat room. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, Nate, if you would like to ask us your question, we'll give you a quick reading before we close. If you'd like to tell us in the chat room what your question is, we'll do our very best to give you some insight.
I'm asking him now.
No, he's gone.
Is he gone?
Okay. Yeah, he's gone.
Well, okay, it wasn't meant to be for this evening then.
Yep.
So, Nate, if you listen to the archive, or if any of you know Nate, please ask him to call in next week, and we'll try and make it a priority to answer Nate's question. But I want to thank you all for listening, and as I said earlier in the show, please do tell your friends on Facebook or via email or by however you like about the show, and help us to attract more and more listeners. We really want to make this... The finest and most listened to psychic radio show. So please help us by sharing the energy and telling us everybody about our work, and we appreciate you listening in. I want to just again thank you to Doug for helping us make the show so successful. Now, next week, Miss Peg will be hosting the show. What can we look forward to next week, Miss Peg?
Dennis Rodriguez. He's the author of The Superman Effect. He began creating his new reality and gave himself 60 days to get his life squared away so he could quit his corporate job and follow his heart, a dream of a new life that bears no resemblance to the ordinary one that he'd lived in public and yet eerily echoed through time as a memory of childhood fantasies, daydreams, or visions of the future. After speaking to many spiritual teachers and hearing that he would have published books and be a he made a promise to himself and his family to change his life, to create a new reality. We're going to have him with us next week to discuss with us how all this worked out for him. I've got so many questions lined up, you guys. It's going to be a great show. He's going to help us understand how we could do this in our own lives.
Well, that sounds absolutely fascinating, Miss Peg. So we'll look forward to your show next week. Now, want to say thank you to Allure. Thank you for joining us, Allure, and sharing with us this evening.
Thank you not only to you, Steve, but to everyone, my co-hosts, and all of you who've joined us tonight. I look forward to having you with us again next week. So God bless to everyone, and have a great week.
Wonderful. Thank you, Allure, and also thank you to you, Maureen.
Well, thank you. It was lovely. And thank you, Pamela. It was great. Really great show. Great guest.
Great show. Thank you. Well, I really enjoyed it. It was the first show that I've hosted, but I'm very excited to be a part of the Psychic View and to be working with you guys and with all of our listeners, and intend to be here for the long term. So I'm excited about all the future shows that we'll do together. I'd like to thank everybody who's been with us this evening. We look forward to having you again with us next week. In the meantime, we wish you a wonderful remainder of the week and weekend, and God bless you all. Thank you for listening.